Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Not long ago, I told a story from the pulpit about a rather confused time in my life when I ended up spending a seasick month aboard a tugboat plying the deep on the Merchant Marine. After the service, Cynthia came up to me. "Funny," she said, "I don't remember seeing that on your resume." "Yes," I said, "somehow I forgot to mention it." "Well," she said, smiling, "I suppose we'll hear more about it." As it turns out, this morning I'd like to tell a story that comes from around the same time, but not, thankfully, on that seasick tugboat. As you recall, I was living in Jersey City at the time, and my daughter Isabel was 3 years old, and I only got to see her once a week. So when I got to see her that once a week, I wanted it to be good. I wanted it to be special. And that's why, one summer day, we could be found walking along the promenade of the Hudson River down there in Jersey City, father and daughter. Mid-afternoon, the breeze was warm coming up off the harbor. The ferries were coming in, and the ferries were going out again. Old men were fishing. Hot dogs were being sold. It felt good, and I think Isabel felt good too, because before long she did that thing that kids do when they are feeling good on a summer's day. She snuck up on a flock of pigeons, stomped on the ground, said, "Boo!" And off went the pigeons. But of course, these were Jersey City pigeons, and Jersey City pigeons have seen it all. They've been around the block a few times flying and walking too, presumably. They didn't get fazed, and so they just settled back down again a few feet away. Not to be outdone by a bunch of scrawny pigeons, Isabel upped her game, ran up to them, waving her hands and kicking her feet. And that, of course, had better results. The pigeons flew away, but something also flew away. Something else also flew. Isabel's shoe. It came off her foot and in one beautiful slow motion arc flew over the railing of the promenade. And you guessed it, what goes up must come down. Plop. Right into the Hudson River. The passage that Allison just read for us contains within it one of Christ's most well-known and difficult teachings. Love your neighbors, he teaches. I'm sorry, not your neighbors. Love your enemies. He does teach that too, but in this passage he says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. Jesus asks us to love our enemies. Love our enemies. From generation to generation, echoes have reverberated from age to age. People of all colors and shapes and sizes have complained, "Did he really mean that?" The two words, love and enemy, are just simply incompatible. They're like magnets that are turned the wrong way and don't attract but oppose each other. Try as you might to get them together, their very nature is to resist. I've heard theologians and preachers jumping through all kinds of hoops redefining love or redefining enemy so that the idea can make a little bit of sense. But for me, at least, these gymnastics have proven unsatisfactory. It's not that our enemies are incapable of inspiring strong emotions. Fear is a strong emotion, and so is hatred and even respect. These emotions seem reasonable, even logical. But love? It feels utterly illogical. Why would I love my enemy? We humans are hardwired to reflect back the emotions that are presented to us. When someone nearby laughs, it's hard not to laugh. And try keeping a dry eye in the company of someone who is crying. Similarly, if a person bears me ill will, my natural response is to bear that person ill will in return. It stands to reason. Now, where did we leave Isabel? She had just unwittingly launched her shoe into the Hudson River. 3 years old, the lovely little girl's afternoon suddenly flipped in an instant from being a fun, careless day with Dad to a moment when the universe reached out and snatched something away from her. Tears sprang to her eyes, and she studied me, waiting for my response. "Well, what are you going to do about it, Dad?" "Don't worry," I said. The shoe itself was floating on the water not far from shore, but the water was some 15 feet below the promenade. I had the preposterous idea that maybe if I could get it close enough that one of the fishermen could hook it. So I started throwing rocks into the water to kind of nudge it closer. And this, of course, was to absolutely no avail. The shoe simply floated farther and farther out, and Isabel stood beside me, weeping. Revealed in this tender, sad moment, need I even say it, is all the pure yearning of human love. The father's gallant desire to offer a good, fun day turned now to that frustrated attempt to bend the will of the universe to his daughter's whim. And the child, confused by loss, by fear, and by her father's inability to bend the will of the universe to her whim, the shoe gone, the child weeping, Dad was going to have to figure out something to save the day. Rather than solve the love your enemy problem, let's spend a little time within the difficulty that it rises. The difficulty is that we're not used to love and enemy being related to each other. So I wonder, what would it be like if we practiced by considering other things that don't usually go together? Consider the poem that I discovered last week by Ted Kooser, the former poet laureate of the United States. If you'd like to follow along, this poem is printed in the bulletin under the Poetry Corner. The poem is called "A Rainy Morning." A young woman in a wheelchair, wearing a black nylon poncho spattered with rain, is pushing herself through the morning. You have seen how pianists sometimes bend forward to strike the keys, then lift their hands, draw back to rest, then lead again to strike just as the chord fades. Such is the way this woman strikes at the wheels, then lifts her long white fingers, letting them float then bends again to strike just as the chair slows, as if into a silence. So expertly she plays the chords of this difficult music she has mastered, her wet face beautiful in its concentration, while the wind turns the pages of rain. When was the last time you admired the precise athleticism of a disabled person? This is not something we are used to, admiring the physicality of a person in a wheelchair. And yet the poet shows us through this delicacy of his perception that there is nothing more surprisingly clear than the beauty of a young woman pushing her wheelchair. And here's another example. If you look at the front of the bulletin, you'll find an illustration that bears an uncanny resemblance to my beloved Heloise. Heloise, of course, is my cat. And by that, I mean that she is my cat. She will now and again toy with Carrie and Silas and Amos, but if she really wants to cuddle and go to sleep on someone's lap, she chooses me. Heloise is, without a doubt, the furry love of my life. But when I say this, I'm also aware that this darling cat is, at the same time, a cold-blooded murderer. I have seen her in the act of killing, and I will tell you, it is not pretty. I am in love with a murderer. Two ideas that don't usually go together, but are, undoubtedly, true. You know what we're going to do? I asked Isabel. What? She asked. Take off your other shoe. What? She asked, confused. Go ahead, I said, take off your other shoe. Slowly, Isabel took off her other shoe. Now she was in her stocking feet on the pavement of the promenade. I picked her up, and I carried her to the metal fence that separated the promenade from the river below. Go ahead, I said. A tiny smile crept onto her face. You mean? Yes, go ahead, throw it. Isabel smiled. She wound up, and with a wild yell, she pitched her other shoe into the Hudson River. Wow, I said. Look at how far you threw it. Wow, she said. She looked out over the water for a while. You know what? She said. What? Now, my first shoe won't be lonely. That's right, I said. And then, are you ready? Yes. I put her on my shoulders, and we walked home. Amen.